ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Ah, yes. It wouldn't be the day after a LeBron loss if we wouldn't be talking about if he was tired.
I have my moments, but I think everybody at this point is tired, or, you know, worn down or whatever the case may be, but you know, still trying to make plays to help our team win, put us in position to win. And we had moments, we had an opportunity, but we didn't make enough plays.
That's right. Boston beating Cleveland to take a 3-2 lead. And it's not about what the Celtics did. No. The storyline, my friends, is
LeBron being tired.
LeBron being tired.
I mean, look, when you carry a team the way LeBron does, you can imagine he gets
tired. You know,
tired.
You think you're joking. It's funny you say that, but we're going to play a Paul Pierce bite here in a quick second because, yeah, that is the theme now. You know, it's the team's bums. It's a
They've
terrible supporting cast. They haven't done anything, even though they had just won 2 straight games.
Yeah.
And it was 2-2.
Yeah.
Same bums.
I mean, he had to carry those bums through those games, too.
Same supporting cast. And it actually is the guys that he probably helped orchestrate to bring in the middle of the season.
How many times do you want him to carry bums? He had bums on the team in the beginning of the season. He got rid of them, and his GM brings in more bums.
The part where I heard this morning – Paul Pierce say, you know, he's tired of the Cavs and Tyronn Lue not doing enough to help him win.
Nobody does. That's why something. He needs more help.
Let me tell you something. It's blasphemous. For you to be able to say that they haven't done enough to try to help him win is... Anyway.
Really?
Back at Saints Camp here. Goodness. Or an airline drive. OTA number 3 in the books. Week 1 of OTAs. In the books next week. 3 more days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on the week after that, another one. No, it's 3 weeks of OTAs.
Oh, that's right. 3 weeks.
Then minicamp comes, and that's the mandatory minicamp. That is when you will see
Mark Ingram. Yeah.
Coach Payton did address that. We'll play some of his sound. If you missed it, we played it after practice from 12:15 to 12:30. We'll do that next segment. We'll finish our observations because Jordan and Brian are going to go back into the locker room, open locker rooms at 1:15 to go get some players. So we'll replay some of those bites and some of the things that he had to say. We touched on it already. Again, if you're just joining us in here in hour number 2, health was a huge thing. You saw some nice players that you hadn't seen from, you know, that started the end of the season back on the field. And more importantly to me, it's Cameron Meredith above all of those. Here's a guy that was supposed to be ready or aiming for, you know, training camp and the start of the regular season.
Yeah.
And he's out there running drills and catching passes without a limp, without a brace, without a neoprene sleeve, anything like that.
No, he looks like he's going to be ready to go definitely for a training camp. I want to see what he does now that he's had some of this work. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he does next set of OTAs to see if they expand his role just a little bit more as he progresses, because again, as Sean Payton said, he's ahead of schedule, ahead of schedule.
And you saw some guys like Alex Okafor, AJ Klein, not getting any of that work there as well. Again, you're bringing them along a little bit slowly. Cam Jordan nearly didn't get any team drills or things of that nature today, and you're probably getting some younger guys put in there. One of the younger guys that they almost redshirted with 2 years ago, last year kind of saw him get a little bit better, a little fisticuffs on the D-line. I know Marlon Favorite, if you're listening, you're going to love this. Well, what happened there with David Onyemata?
Little David Onyemata. You know, these guys, of course, you know, they really don't have on a pad. So, you know, some of those, you know, those chest punches that the offensive linemen like to do, you know, they may get a little, you know, a little rowdy.
A little chippy.
Yeah, a little chippy.
A little chippy there.
Yeah, and of course, Onyemata, they tried to break him up. He was having none of it. So, I mean, I actually saw him swing a little bit. And Sean Payton mentions that, you know, he started to get in between it. I think when he saw Onyemata swing, he thought better of it. So, with that being said, what I liked most about that was, it wasn't Sean Payton that stepped in. It wasn't the coaches that stepped in. His teammates grabbed him and pulled him off the, you know, field and kind of, you know, talked to him a little bit. And was like, look, that's not what we're here for. So I thought that would, that leadership that Sean Payton talks about, that
funny
was important.
You said that. I want to go to training camp last year.
Yeah.
And it was one of the, I want to say it was the first week of training camp. That one of the first practices. It was indoors.
Yeah, it was indoors.
Well. And there was, it was chippy. You could feel it.
Yeah.
It was, here's a fight's coming. It's coming. And, but it was sort of that fine line, and Sean Payton talked about it as well last training camp. It's that fine line of trying to set a tone of aggressiveness mm-hmm. on the defensive side, setting a tone for your offense that, hey, don't back down from aggressiveness, because that's always been that book against the Saints offense.
They're finesse.
They're finesse. Yeah. You know, they're not. You can't say that about Michael Thomas.
No.
You definitely can't say that about Alvin, let me run over you, but Kamara.
I mean,
Mark Ingram, same thing, kind of did sort of like that. And, you know, you talked about Ramczyk and, you know, obviously with Armstead, Unger, offensive linemen that have, what, the nasty streak.
Yeah, all of them.
So I would say over the last couple of years, especially with this new crop of young players, they don't like that.
They will shove you
as well. And we saw it last year at the start of training camp where you had Aaron Glenn and Curtis Johnson, the DB's coach and the wide receiver's coach, go back and forth and absolutely get mad at their guys on their squad or their side of the football if they didn't show you up after you made a good play. So you're already seeing it here. Look, and again, I'm not trying to extrapolate or try to, you know, point out different things. Again, we can just observe what we're seeing. But if you're this chippy already, and if you're already doing that, and it's first week of OTAs in May, you know what? I like that. You know why I like that, Brian? Because all offseason, you, me, the national folks that are here today as well, have been saying the Saints are a Super Bowl contending team or a playoff team.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I like seeing that, you know what, maybe not getting the head, not out there lackadaisical. They're getting after it. Here's the other thing that you're seeing there, too, as well. He's in his third year.
Yeah.
Right? The other thing, too, is, well, guess what? There's competition.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Allen said it at rookie minicamp. He says there's competition everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He said safety, corner, linebacker, D-line. So guess what? David Onyemata knows, hey, we got guys that are Al-Qadim Muhammad, all these other guys from last year's rookie class that were quote-unquote red-shirted, essentially. They're looking to get some playing time, too. There is no doubt you and I are going to talk after that third preseason game and go, there are going to be some tough cuts and there are going to be some names that you will know. It won't be that guy.
No longer will it be like, oh, it was just a rookie free agent that came on to sign on just to be a camp body. You know, that's the hot term, camp body. No, it's going to be guys that we know we thought would definitely make the roster that are going to be gone. And I kind of find it interesting that last year it was probably the two positions that were the deepest, and wide receiver and DBs kind of went at it. Well, this year it looks like that might be O-line versus D-line, because Saints have some depth on both sides when it comes to, you know, the offensive line of ball in the trenches, as a Big Fave would say.
Right.
So, it's going to be a nasty little battle between those two, you know, those two units.
800-998-1003, RDSBN Radio NOLA. If you have any questions or just you want to ask, hey, did we observe anything from any player we're not touching on right now, feel free to ask us, since we were watching practice. And again, we'll play some Sean Payton coming up next segment before these guys head on over to the open locker room. But that really stood out to me again, just kind of, you know, seeing that. So that's good that you have that. Look, we talked about we're gonna keep an eye on the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And it's just something that Sean Payton even touched on it. He said his own words today. He's happy with that room.
Yeah.
And I think it's the first time you can legitimately say, I get it, and I see it. Again, JT Barrett threw an interception today, follow that up with a ball into the ground. The other plays, he didn't look too bad. Again, it's going to be a tough learning curve for him because he only has two plays in team drills. He gets two snaps, folks. He doesn't get seven. He gets two. But you did see some mixing in there.
Yeah.
Right after Drew with Taysom Hill and also
Tom Savage.
Yeah. Now, look, we said this last week, to expect that. And you should do that. You know what Tom can do. Tom was a starter.
Correct.
He's learning the offense. I get it. I don't know what Taysom Hill can do. And the question today was actually asked of him. Are we actually really getting evaluated here? And he's really getting evaluated. Because you don't know. And you can't always just do it against the fourth string center. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I need him in second unit at the very least.
Correct. And that's something Sean Payton mentioned. He said this is the first time we get to see him at least take, you know, number two reps. And that's something that I found to be interesting the minute that they broke the huddle. When
he's
I see
got
Taysom
an arm
Hill.
On him. He threw a deep ball it was a pretty deep ball. I'm trying to think of the receiver that he had. Had it written down somewhere.
I want to say it was number 15, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say that was maybe.
Was it Massington?
It's 86 is Massington, so it's either Massington or Kirkwood.
The only reason that brings, the reason I bring both of those guys up because
they're massive dudes.
Well, they're big receivers.
Yeah, they're like 6'3".
You're making some plays, which is kind of one of the reasons that name popped up, you know, in my head. Eldridge Massington, 6'2", sure didn't look like that.
No, he looked a lot bigger. Both he and Kurt Wood, both of those guys, big flying downfield. But another play that Taysom Hill made, and Sean Fazan, you know, of
Kirkwood, 6'3".
Yeah, so Sean Fazan, who, you know, who always comes on the program, man, I mean, he said that Taysom Hill, in his opinion, was, you know, the most impressive player out there. And he had a scramble run. And I mean,
Sean Payton mentioned the scramble run.
Dude, you could see the speed. You could see why Sean said, we got to get him on the field some type of way.
We saw him with the special teams unit there as well, too. And again, obviously, if he continues and he wins the backup role, I don't know if you're going to want to throw in your backup quarterback and put him into the special teams unit. But again, it's just something we're going to keep an eye on. It's just the first time we can actually observe something of that nature. And what you do see, obviously, is his stature. And he's got an arm strength that it's clear. I mean, he just flicks it up there and the ball travels. It's a tight spiral. And then you add that elusive mobility on there. Look, I've been trying to call Sean Payton a liar here, but you keep telling me.
The future's in the building.
You keep telling me he's telling us the truth, and he's telling us we don't want to believe it. Like you're hiding in plain sight, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, he said it last year on the TV broadcast. It was a primetime game. And I want to say it was Collinsworth who said, hey, we asked Sean who's the next quarterback. He said he's in the building.
In the building.
And you and I laughed. We're like, where? What are you talking about? Who's in the building?
Well, apparently he knew.
I'm just, again, let's see. These preseason games are going to be interesting coming up. And I say preseason games, man, we're a while away from there.
No question.
Get that.
Training camp.
All we can kind of look at
mini camp
is what we see. But again, today was our first day to sort of see it. And the one thing that Drew enjoyed having Chase Daniel around as well, or that is, he says it kind of helped him get ready. And it's a way to him bounce ideas off of and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to sort of see him and Taysom kind of be competitive and go into it. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. You can tell me that he's got the ability. You can tell me that he has the size. You can tell me that he has the strength. I mean, the guy has pipes like a wrestler. I mean,
oh yeah, no question.
Ripped,
he's been put together.
You got to have the mindset to go play special teams. I don't care what you tell me. I don't know many quarterbacks you can go up to and be like, "Hey, my man, guess what? We want you to run down there and make a
tackle.
Yeah,
yeah. Go knock somebody
go block
down.
A punt.
Yeah,
yeah. No. So you have to have that mentality as well. That's a competitive person.
No question.
So I think somebody like that's going to help a guy like Drew Brees, who, again, was, as you like to call him, Captain America out there. Just, I mean, guy doesn't miss a beat.
No.
It's crazy.
He's a machine.
When you watch him out there, it's there's no difference from last year, from the year before. Everything is so down to the T in routine that it just, I don't even look at
it's
him
muscle
anymore.
Muscle memory for him.
You don't look at him anymore. No. You just, when you see him take the snap, my eyes go left to see the receivers on their route. Like, I don't even look at him anymore.
No, it's muscle memory for him. Drew Brees, pretty much, if there was ever somebody you could say is robotic, it's him. I mean, he does everything the exact same way, every single rep. So if you're a DB or a linebacker trying to key in to see if you can get any tells, what are you getting from him?
It's the little details, too, that always still stand out. And again, because one of the things I'm going to enjoy about this, and again, it's one of the things I love to do on sidelines, is while everyone's playing the same position, you can see the differences, right? I want to see guys like Taysom, who's just starting out here. Savage, who said himself when he picked New Orleans to come here, he's like, I want to learn from a guy like that. I want to get better. Yeah, I've started in the league. Brian O'Leary is calling me trash. I mean, you know,
Fred Savage would be.
I mean, Jay Hargrave's already put him in the Hall of Fame. But
of course.
I mean, my point is, though, they want to go do it. You can just see it. You know, like I brought up the fact that when he did that single rep drill where he either tosses it to Alvin Kamara or throws him a pass, then he goes and meets Alvin downfield. Then they play pitch and catch on the way back.
Yeah.
No other quarterback did that.
No.
That's his thing. That's what he does. That he's always trying to fine tune and find little things to do that. And again, you might be going, Gus, why are you even focusing on that? It's a 5 to 7 yard pass that's constantly doing it. And it's to what you said, muscle memory. To where he's just going to do it. Boom. He just sees the helmet of Kamara and he's just, there it is. 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 It's constant. Where is he like? Is he like it high? Is it like, and I'm just, that's why he does it.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's just, he finds every little part within the drill, after the drill is over, to then do another drill. It's just, that's why he's a Hall of Famer.
No question.
But you're seeing, I want to see the progression of some of these other guys if they start taking bits and pieces. Because you can see in the body language, when I refer to that is, and I tell you this on the sidelines, I'm like, Luke, look at the helmets, right? Like, JT Barrett's looking down, he's thinking, he's talking to Lombardi or something. Taysom's kind of yucking it up. He feels a little more comfortable with the terminology, which Sean Payton touched on today.
Question.
He said, hey, look, this is the second go around for Taysom Hill. He knows the language. You can see it.
Yeah, no question. Where he's
savage. He's smacking his hands. He's like, I missed that. I mean, no. You can see the people that haven't gotten it down to where Taysom and Drew are like, let's just go out and do it.
No question. I mean, I think that's a great observation. And with Drew, I think it's just a matter of saying he's a guy that he wants to be as mentally prepared as he can for every game that he plays. So the best way to do that is if I do it like I'm playing in the game in practice, then when I get to the game, it's nothing for me. And I think that's exactly why we see him do the little small nuances that he does.
Yeah, no doubt. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from head coach Sean Payton as the guys are about to get on over to the open locker room. We'll continue with observations. If you want to ask us about anything or just touch on any of these topics, feel free to do so. Again, it's... You know, we have it in our head what we kind of saw and stood out, but maybe if you call or you tweet us about something, we can, you know, if something might recall from what we saw. So 800-998-1003, the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Jake Madison. Western Conference Finals, game number 5. We spoke with Sean Kelly, voice of the Pels, a little bit before the show, going back and forth on last night. Jordan had the flu game. LeBron had the... I had enough game? I don't know. What are we calling game 5 of LeBron?
Talking about? He had the can I get some help game is what
he had.
Is
that what that was?
That's exactly what it was. It was a cry for help.
ESPN Radio NOLA, what are we calling game 5 for LeBron? What are we calling it?
H-A-L-P. Help.
The help game?
Help.
Okay.
Yes.
Mind you, it's the same guys that got him 2 wins in a row, though.
No, it was all LeBron.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand that. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. You know, you always wonder if one thing might lead to another. And what I mean by that here, we'll hear from head coach Sean Payton here in a quick second. The list just came out. All NBA teams, first team all NBA teams, LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, of course he's going to
be on
that.
You've heard him.
He doesn't have
any James
help.
Harden. Damian Lillard.
That's interesting.
Kevin Durant.
Okay, that makes
Anthony
sense.
Anthony Davis.
Well, all right.
Yeah, he is. So Anthony Davis making first team All-NBA team. Second team, Giannis. Can you say the last name?
No, man. Antetokounmpo. No, it's
That was close.
Antetokounmpo?
That's it, right there.
Oh, okay.
You said it. Russell Westbrook, Joel Embiid, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, third team, Steph Curry. Steph Curry's third All-NBA. Victor Oladipo, he had a great year.
He had a great year.
He had a really good year. Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Paul George making All-NBA teams there. What's interesting about this, Brian, in NOLA East, is Bobby Marks covers the league. And front office insider for ESPN NBA here. The fact that Anthony Davis made All-NBA is a big deal for Anthony Davis.
Big deal in what kind of terms? Like big deal, like it's, you know.
Big bucks.
Oh,
yeah.
like
Or like Jordan the intern just said, big baller money, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
What did Bobby tweet?
Bobby tweeted that he's now eligible for the Supermax extension in 2019, which he can opt out, of course. Mm-hmm. He can get an extension on that part. It's going to be worth an estimated $230 million, and it's starting at right around $40 million per season. Kind of interesting.
Now that would start, the cap hit would be 2020-2021, right?
Yeah.
So this would be 18-19 season. So yeah, the extension. Yeah. So when he comes up.
Yeah, when he comes
for
up for extension.
Deal, it's not right now.
No.
Because I can promise you right now, upstairs here at the Saints facility, Pels facility, the owner Gail Benson just went, wow.
Yeah. All guaranteed, by the way.
Well, again, the reason we bring it up is twofold. One, let me put some fears aside for everyone. And the folks in Boston
that
really want Anthony Davis to go over there or are fearing that AD's going to leave. As Brian would say, let me give you 230 million reasons why Anthony Davis probably is not going to leave the Pelicans.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Now, again, another team could offer him somewhat close to that, probably like in the 190s or something like that.
Yeah, he'll probably miss out on about 70.
$230 million Anthony Davis can get.
And this is estimated. It depends on what happens if the NBA signs a new deal
exactly
or anything.
Right. This is a couple years from now. So the point is, if you're worried about AD looking elsewhere, just remember, at the end of the day, the old adage, money talks.
Always.
$230 million.
And we're not even talking about anything that the NBA can profit off of, you know, with this gambling, you know, rule that just came in. I'm like, this could be more money coming in.
He's going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah.
But you and I started talking during the break. We both said bye-bye, Boogie. I
mean, are you really going to pay Boogie $40 million right now? You got AD coming up.
I'm just saying.
And Drew is still going to be under contract for another 5 years, another few years.
I'm just saying, the fact that he just hit that and he's set to make $40 million a year, I don't know if I can tie it's just guaranteed that I'm not giving you any more than 3 years.
No,
because in three years, I got to pay Anthony
Correct.
Davis.
That's what the biggest issue is. You're not getting more than 3 years because if you give Boogie the 4 year, 5 year max, you're going to probably be somewhere between 30 to 40
he's
million.
He's 30.
Yeah. So if you're going to give him that kind
Drew's
of money.
Drew's what, 25?
Correct.
Okay, Drew's so out 30, 25, million. And you're going to have him 40?
40.
Who else is playing?
Nobody. Exactly. It's just those three. You're going to play the big three brand from here on out because that's all you got.
Wow. So that's a big deal for Anthony Davis there. Here's shocking, and I don't know if this might make a difference, especially if the Golden State Warriors go on to win the NBA Finals here. Klay Thompson failed to earn All-NBA honors, and is not Supermax eligible this summer. The guard will be eligible in 2019 when he's a free agent, but must earn All-NBA for the 2018-19 upcoming season. Remember something we've touched on, if there's going to be somebody we could see leaving to try to go get his or try to go get... Now, he said this past week that he's like, man, I'm here to win and I want to win as many rings as we possibly can. But again, money talks, man. Do not think for these guys, 230 guaranteed to the guarantee doesn't matter.
Oh, it does. I think the idea of this whole thing going on with Boogie right now is because the money matters. I mean, if that's the case, you take a 3 year deal, you say I'm on a possible championship team and you run with it. But no, Boogie's coming off an Achilles. So, that money's going to matter.
Definitely want to do that. All right. So head coach Sean Payton. Again, one of the things that stood out was Cam Meredith and him being back health wise. Had this to say.
Yeah. He's ahead of schedule. That's encouraging. I made the comment to Bo 2 days ago during the walkthroughs, watching him move around, and you guys saw him. He's way ahead of schedule. And certainly where our doctors had hoped, and even better. He's going to factor in this year. He's a player that we've got a real clear vision for.
One of the other things, too, as well, we talked about health, coming back. Jermaine Bushrod.
Yeah.
Being back there as well. Again, just on a day like today where there's no Andres Pete, there's Jermaine Bushrod.
Yeah.
It's just...
There you go. It's plug and play.
One of the reasons why you have him.
Plug and play. That's why he was brought here.
Andres Pete, kind of working his way back. Here's Jermaine Bushrod.
I think it's very interesting that...
Because remember, he's playing guard.
Correct. And I think it's very interesting. Andres Pete needs to get back on the field and get back on the field in a hurry because this is a contract year for him.
What are you doing? What you just did. You tried to make it seem like his job's in jeopardy.
I would not confirm nor deny that.
No, stop that. Coach Payton.
Outstanding. He's a guy that understands the process. He's a team first guy. He was, of course, extremely important to us back in 2009. He's healthy now and I think he's tremendous in the room. So it's been a good addition.
You think he still has a lot of football? Though?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he does. And I think he's a guy that takes care of himself too, I think once we get started, we'll see him in training camp moving around, but he's a smart player, and a real good teammate.
Again, we used it as a term of endearment.
Did we?
Yeah.
What did we say?
Craig Robertson, the cockroach.
Calling the man a cockroach?
No, I know, but what I'm saying, I don't know why that was the one thing that popped in my head. It was just kind of like the fact that, because you said, everyone's trying to always kill him and get rid of him all the time, but he's just always there, whatever it is that way. But Craig Robertson, back again. And look, I'll say this. Sean Payton said last year, if there's a guy that he trusts in that locker room.
Oh, yeah. It's Craig.
It's Craig Robertson.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, he probably trusts him more than anybody on that defense a lot of times last year. He said that.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's that much further along as a player. And you know, the way he played last year, I mean, shoot, the interception he made on, you know, just a late down the field throw was impressive. So, you know, like anything else, there's a confidence level that you see. And I say all the time, the confidence, you can wish for it or hope for it, but it really is a result of demonstrated ability. And so here's a player that has played, you know, in the biggest stages and had success. But he looks the same. He still looks young. And it's good seeing him back in our building.
What's it like? As Coach talking about Patrick Robinson, and he was one of two interceptions today, the other coming from rookie Cameron Moore. But that interception from Patrick Robinson, look, it was one of those moves that we saw in the offseason to just bolster and just kind of add depth and just sort of help that secondary. And you and I during the draft and right before the draft were going, oh, sure, looking cornerback. You and I love the corner from Louisville.
Yeah, Jair.
And I was like, dude, that would have been great to pair with
Marshawn Lattimore.
He was out there today, and Ken Crowley making some plays.
So, man, look, Ken Crowley picked up right where he left off, and I kind of
almost went, made an interception early today.
It was his, man. I mean, it was right there. And I mean, I think it just, you know, because he had to kind of dive for it a little bit forward, I think that's the only thing that stopped it from happening. But, I mean, this is year three for him. So we saw him make the leap from year one to year two, and year two to year three could be, I mean, it
again,
could be monstrous.
I don't want to overreact.
We should.
Okay. But, yeah. You kind of saw what you were starting to see every now and then during practices when you and I would walk out. I'm like, dude, that defense kind of looks like they're everywhere. And
yeah,
today in the team drills, Breeze almost got picked off a couple times. Balls are batted away. You saw black jerseys around the ball.
Yeah.
Kirk Coleman almost ran us over going through the media crowd.
Correct.
You know, because he was almost anticipating getting over there. He wasn't a guy covering the receiver. He was coming from the safety position to help. We saw almost an interception by Crawler. We saw almost a couple of other plays being made. Even on the deep ball that Taysom Hill had, the receiver was covered. I mean, you're getting more and more sense of this defense is going to have some guys in that secondary. It's going to be a strength again. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Lattimore looks fine.
Lattimore is Lattimore.
Yeah.
I think between Lattimore and Crowley, and from what I saw today, because the Saints played a lot of nickel situations.
Yeah, they did.
Having Patrick Robinson, you know, guard the slot receiver is going to be big time because it allows a guy like Kirk Coleman to play closer to the line of scrimmage. And from what I saw, dude, he's going to be a monster at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you could see Breeze and Kamara trying to, you know, figure out what they're going to do with Coleman who's coming down on that blitz. And it was amazing to see because the coverage on the back end, Breeze had nowhere to go with the ball. And I mean, and at this time, you know, you got guys, you got one side Davenport, you got the other side, you got Trey Hendrickson, who, you know, these guys are collapsing in, and of course the guys in the middle trying to push the pocket. The Saints defense could be the strength of this team yet again. And if that's the case, the league is in a lot of trouble because that's a young, fast defense that's going to be confident. And now you got some veteran leadership on the back end as well.
And you know what? It's the one thing that you and I touched on, though, that whoever the future quarterback on this team is going to be, you're about to walk into a pretty veteran-laden team. Or look, I mean, obviously the plan, and you would love to have somebody that's starting right now to kind of be groomed for 3-4 years from now. But look, man, again, I'm not overreacting, but pretty much every time the ball is thrown past 5-10 yards, there were hands. The football. And you could just see the athleticism and the sort of the speed that the Saints defense just didn't have two, three years ago. Really you started seeing come online last year.
You know, I kept tapping Jordan, and every time they made a play, I was like, dude, speed kills. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you see. It's kind of like, you know, what I alluded to a couple of weeks back. This defense is trying to be the Rams, you know, greatest show on turf 2.0 on both sides of the ball. We want to be fast, flying around the football, creating turnovers like they did in 2009. I see, of course it's early, but what I see I like because it's not even a matter of the guys having on pads. It's do you know where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know where you're going, then that means you're in a position to make a play.
Yeah.
That's the first part of
it. I know it's early, but when you have an entire offseason as we go to break here with a lot of people nationally saying, hey, this is a playoff team and this is a team that could be on this list or the power rankings here and all of that, you always wonder how you're going to come back and attack the offseason workouts and practices like OTAs and minicamp. And to sort of see this competitive nature kind of just stay what we saw last year is a good sign. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they haven't rested on their success.
You saw some health today. You saw some guys come back that you hadn't seen, and they seemed to look fine. You saw some new faces that you might be depending on.
Yeah.
One looks healthier than you thought he would look in Cameron Meredith. You saw some fisticuffs. You saw some interceptions.
Yeah.
Again, I just, if I'm a Saints fan, you know what? I kind of like what I'm going to read from folks that write papers today or folks that are going to do some stuff on TV and even folks like us. I mean, because I'm telling you, this is what you're going to hear today.
Yes. Nick Underhill, who was big on this guy last year, Mitchell Lavin.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that Nick Underhill kind of pointed out, and that guy was all over the field today, number 70, Mitchell Lavin. He was a guy that was a late cut last year, but if he comes back and he can give you any kind of help, I mean, that's it's going to be crazy.
Line.
Defensive line. I mean, he's another guy. That's
in
why
the
Sean
trenches.
Mentioned the depth.
He
man.
Did. He said they're as deep as they have been. Quick break. We come back. Jake Madison from Locked On Pels will touch on the Western Conference Finals, game number 5 in Houston. Why I'm going Rockets tonight.
And why you'll be wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
He has been pushing this team since the trade deadline, and we have been seeing through these playoff series, once they start getting to every other day, which is what this series is now, we have been seeing the effects of it. His body has been under so much stress for months now trying to carry this team, and we are seeing it. So they are going to have other players who step up and make it easier for him in Game 6, or they are going to be going home. There's just no other way to say that.
And there is Rachel Nichols from ESPN's The Jump on LeBron being tired. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, at Nola Jake's, the way to follow over on Twitter, joins us to talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals, and also Pels with the news that came out a little bit ago. Jake, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Why is LeBron so tired? We'll get to that in a quick second, but first, how about the first team All-NBA honors from Anthony Davis? And more importantly, that qualifies him for the Supermax come extension time, and you're looking at $230 million.
Yeah, and that'll be the largest contract in NBA history when he becomes eligible for it. So I think everyone's expecting that he will heavily re-sign that. The largest contract in NBA history. It's tough to turn kind of down all of that money. This is deserved for Anthony Davis being on the first team All-NBA roster. This contract's going to be deserved for him. He's one of the best players in the NBA. You saw it all this season, especially as he really dragged this Pelicans team to the playoffs in the wake of the DeMarcus Cousins injury. And hopefully now that people see that number, you know, it lays to rest a lot of the trade rumors, a lot of the concern maybe that he will be leaving. It's not guaranteed that he won't eventually leave this team, but to leave and go somewhere else where they can't offer him that contract, and it's only the Pelicans who can, that's turning down a lot of money and leaving that all on the table, and that's got to be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, and no doubt, and Jake, as he's always said, time after time after time again, last year at the All-Star game, not the season that just passed, but the one I was here in New Orleans, you know, he's like, I love New Orleans, stop, I'm not going anywhere. When all the Boston stuff during the offseason, we said, I had to go to Dell's offense. It's like, why is everyone saying that? The guy has told us repeatedly he likes it here. He wants it here. And as you said, at the end of the day, dude, money talks. I don't know anyone that's leaving $230 million. And people that leave teams, Jake, leave them because teams aren't doing what they can to win. And I don't think you can look at it from that perspective. You know, you heard Gentry and Dell Demp speak about afterwards when the season ended, man, that Meritage deal, they were thinking about that before Boogie got injured. So if you know that and the players, that as the franchise player sees that, they're not itching to leave because they're trying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. You know, Anthony Davis wants to win. He wants to leave a legacy. You've got to get deep in the playoffs multiple years to kind of do that. And they're trying to do that here in New Orleans around them, as you said. They're trying. They're not just giving up. They're not trying to just spin the wheels or anything like that. They're always looking to improve this team to get into the playoffs with the ultimate goal of winning a title. You've got an owner here who's willing to spend to a degree, let's say. And I think that is maybe enough to get Anthony Davis to sign that contract to keep him here in New Orleans for the foreseeable future.
The other big news this week when it comes to the Pels came yesterday, and that was the fact that Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, first team all-defense in the NBA. Again, that's crazy when you think two of the five are Pelican players. That's huge, but how big is that, Jake, especially for Drew Holiday? How big is that, though, just to have two Pels players out of five on the first team?
I think they're the first teammates to be on the first team, all defensive team since I think it was Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan back in 2014, 2015, right around that period. I forget the exact range. So it's an impressive accomplishment. And you saw after the All-Star break, this team's defense rose from 19th worst in the league to then being ranked fifth at one point, or at least in terms of that short period of time. So these guys were out there leading this team, carrying this team. And this is, again, a well-deserved accolade for both of these guys, particularly Drew Holiday, who got a lot of flack from me and others. You know, after the big money deal he signed this offseason, he kind of proved those doubters wrong a little bit, made sure he was worth every penny of that, and really led this team in that first-round playoff series against the Portland Trail Blazers. And now he's getting some well-deserved recognition for it. This is a guy who hasn't really gotten the honors that go along with being a great player in the NBA. The one year he was an All-Star, it was more as a replacement for John Wall, who was out. But now people are really starting to see just how good he is and how important he is to this Pelicans team. And it starts with that little bonus he just earned, which is actually going to increase his cap hit next year for making the All-Defensive Team.
You know what's interesting? You and I, for years, when we've talked on the show, we've always said he's the best on-ball defender. He's the best guy they got to defend and all that. But just some interesting conversations. It's what happens, Jake, you know, when we're watching football practice. All the media is here. And obviously, we cover both teams. There's some talk that people believe, at least from some of the media corps, that one of the people that benefited the most from DeMarcus's injury, not maybe benefit's the wrong word, but he got better offensively, or you saw most offensively, was Drew Holiday. Is that something you think about as to maybe why you the terms of Boogie's contracts or the length of contracts too, or is that even a concern? Did you follow it and you know numbers better than I do? Was Drew Holiday a better offensive player once DeMarcus got injured? Maybe because of spacing?
Yeah, so there's a lot to that, and it's not as simple as it just being he was better once DeMarcus went down. Partially right. It is because he had to be better once DeMarcus Cousins went down.
Correct.
There was more of an on-ball role for him to kind of step up and get more shots. And this is a guy who does really well at higher usage rates, more shots in the game. He tends to be a much more efficient player at higher levels like that, which is usually the opposite of how it goes, which is maybe a good thing here in New Orleans. But there is also a lot of truth to it that with DeMarcus Cousins, the spacing isn't quite right for Drew Holiday to be as aggressive and attack the rim like he likes to and that he's most effective doing, particularly when Cousins is down low and you've got an extra defender in the paint. We saw Holiday struggle at the end of last season after the DeMarcus Cousins trade happened. They didn't really mesh. You saw them struggle to start this year where Holiday did play very poorly when DeMarcus Cousins was out there, and he really only took off once Cousins was out. But you can't forget that stretch run when everything was clicking. Both guys were out there, and Drew Holiday was also playing incredible basketball during that stretch prior to the injury. So I think you kind of look at it and go, okay, you know, if Cousins does walk or we don't re-sign him, what have you, at least we've got Holiday, who's playing at this high level, that can pick up a lot of that scoring burden. And then I think you just look at, if you do re-sign Cousins, at that period of time when they were both out on the court and they were both playing at a very high level and things were also clicking, and say that's maybe your best-case scenario there.
Speaking with Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, Locked On Pels, the podcast. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at NolaJake. Two quick final things here in the next 2.5 minutes. The ECF and the West Conference Finals will finish with tonight's game. But last night, 96-83 Celtics win. LeBron, 26-10, had 6 turnovers, though. Not very often you see the plus-minus category, and he's minus 11. Here's the thing. I get the whole tired. You saw him gassed. I don't know why he was so gassed and so tired that game. He's not doing anything different in the other games that he has to, if you want to go with the he's carrying players thing. But I didn't see him as engaged. And what I mean by that is verbally. So I'm not going to use the MJ comparisons, which a lot of people do. I'm going to use a Pels comparison. You saw in timeouts, even in the Warriors series, Rondo, Davis trying to get his teammates going, Drew Holiday kind of going. LeBron just sat there silent. It was very odd. Like, when he was just resting or he was watching the rest of the team, he wasn't urging them, hey, we're still in this. I just didn't see him vocal. You know, being tired's one thing. You've seen AD tug on his shorts and need air, need wind, you know, when he's tired. But he was still vocal. He was standing up on the bench with the towel. That's what surprised me. Am I reading too much into that?
No, I think it's just a big frustration that he's going through right now, where he didn't get the kind of help he needed in the game last night, which ultimately led to the loss. And this might be as simple as their role players play better at home than they do on the road, which is true for most role players, and that's kind of how I see Cleveland in this series. But it reminded me a little bit of a couple of years ago, a number of years ago now, I think it was back in the 2007 season maybe, where you had Kobe Bryant and the Lakers team lose to the Suns, where in the final game of that series, Kobe just decided not to shoot, give the ball up, give it to other people, was very visibly frustrated as kind of sending a message to ownership and their front office of, get me some help. And I think you kind of saw that game from LeBron last night, ultimately in this loss, which is a bit disappointing. He's doing everything he can. He's playing at a high minutes per game, a high usage rate, and he really is carrying this team, and it's still not good enough. And I think maybe that was the clearest message that he could send in a very public way to maybe either shame some of the teammates or shame the front office a little bit, too, and saying, get me some other guys who can do this with me.
So tonight you got Warriors and Rockets. The Warriors got a great game from Chris Paul to even the series. And now you go into what should be an emotionally charged Toyota Center, obviously with the high school shootings going on there. Chris Paul talking about it after game four, expecting the city of Houston to kind of maybe use a game to, emotionally wise like that. I think Houston's got a shot here. By no means, even if they go up 3-2, I think this is over, but I'm kind of leaning to Houston tonight.
You know, I think this comes down to, do the Warriors remain themselves, or do they go kind of away from their offense and away from their DNA and identity like they did in Game 4? They were up by 12 or 13 in that game and then started playing heavy isolation ball, no ball movement, a lot of Durant one-on-ones, and that's not the way to beat people. It's not what the Warriors want to do, and it caused those other guys to get out of a rhythm where they then went cold from three-point range and they just started chucking whenever they got the ball because they never knew if they were going to get it back again. I think if they avoid that, they should still be able to go into Houston and win this game. I think they do better when they have a little bit more adversity in their series. We saw it against New Orleans where all of a sudden they lost big and then they rebounded quite well the next game for that. So I think that's going to kind of be what we'll see here tonight in this game. If they get away from who they are, though, Houston's going to have a real good chance to win this series. They're the worst team. They know they're the worst team in this. And you'd much rather be in a three-game series versus a seven-game series, which this one is now. So I think Houston's got to feel pretty good. But I still like the Warriors if they just do their Warriors thing.
No doubt. That is Jake Madison from Locked On Pels. At Nola Jake's the way to follow on Twitter. As always, man, I appreciate your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We'll come back. Some of the other headlines going on in the world of sports. A quick recap on college baseball. Tulane season has come to an end.
Nichols
still alive. LSU underway as they were almost beat Florida yesterday. So we'll touch on all of that and more, plus all in hour three. We'll touch on the Saints wrapping up week one of OTAs. We're here at the Saints facility. Open locker room is underway. Jordan the intern, Brian Release getting sound from players as well. We got all of that and more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Not done yet for the Colonels. Nichols pick up a win today over at McNeese. 10-4. First postseason victory, by the way, since 2011. So now they await Southeastern and Northwestern State. The loser of that game will be their opponent, and it will play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So 9 a.m., Nichols will face either Southeastern or Northwestern State after their win 10-4 today. Now, as for the Tigers, well, here's the problem there. They were supposed to start at 1. Well, there's a game still going on. Georgia Ole Miss, they're in the rain delay in the top of the 7th. So they're just underway out of that rain delay here in a little bit. There's a 54-minute rain delay. So 30 minutes ago, they resumed it in the top of the 7th. LSU and South Carolina will begin 30 minutes following the conclusion of that game. So when that game goes final, then LSU and South Carolina will go. The Tigers came up just shy of beating Florida yesterday, too. Really a play or two in that game, losing 4-3. A very solid effort by the Tigers in that. But now LSU is in the loser's bracket in there. For the Tulane Green Wave, kind of heartbreak, really, in the American Conference Tournament. They look like they were well on their way to the winner's, really in the driver's seat. Not only just the winner's side, but the driver's seat to where they were leading ECU 4-1 going into the top of the eighth, they need six outs. They get the six outs, they're the team now that has to lose twice to get knocked out of the postseason. Well, they lose yesterday as ECU has a four-run eighth, and then they wind up winning the game. So then Tulane had to face Houston again, the team that they beat 2 days ago, and they lost 18-7. So the Tulane Green Waves season has come to an end. Four runs in the first, three in the third, four in the fourth as well. And it'll be an interesting offseason for Tulane in that, you know, the 2 years under Travis Jewett haven't gone the way you would have liked them to have gone. And, you know, quick exits. And look, this was an offseason or a conference tournament where the only way Tulane was going to go is that they had to win. Lost some close games. And, you know, it's, again, LSU winning that first game against Mississippi State got them into regional play. But, you know, so many teams in the state of Louisiana just had to win tournaments in order to get to regional action play. So not where everybody kind of wanted it to be. And we'll see where it goes from here on out. But disappointment for the Green Wave. Nichols still alive. And then how about this? Joey, how about the Privateers? You see what UNO did?
Yeah.
UNO beat Sam Houston State yesterday. They upset the number one team in extra innings yesterday. And again, it hasn't been the season that Blake Dean would have liked. He lost a lot of players. And they go and beat them. And tonight they're going to take on Houston Baptist at 7 o'clock. Look, I don't know how far UNO can go or not. But look, UNO, Nichols, and we've talked with a lot of their play-by-play guys as well from Nichols, UNO, Southeastern with Matt Reiser. The Southland Conference has got a lot of good teams. And look, again, you know, you just said it as they were able to do it. Hour 3 coming up next. Don't go anywhere. More from head coach Sean Payton on ESPN New Orleans.